Well, hello and welcome. This is Undone Redone, episode 2, Be My Valentine. My name is Trey Lovern. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Melody.
Hi, guys. It's great to be here today.
This is Valentine's week, so we are going to focus our attention on love and Valentine's and all the things that go into that. It is all around us here in the Deep South.
Yes, it is.
I was with my daughter last night, went into Walmart, and just walking in, they always have those first three or four aisles that are devoted to whatever's in season. Well, being it's Valentine's, it was just red upon red upon red with stuffed animals and hearts and chocolates and cards galore.
And you know red's my favorite color, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
I have come to realize that. We've got a story, obviously. Mm-hmm. And with Valentine's Day, sometimes being it's a holiday about love and lots of expectations that go into that, mm-hmm. just want to kind of dive into maybe where we were and where a lot of people who are listening maybe as it relates to Valentine's. But what we want to focus on too today in the time we have together is the desires of our heart beneath that. What's mm-hmm. really bubbling up? Maybe mm-hmm. that we've never even had to put into words. Mm-hmm. I think that's really where we get to some of the unmet expectations. I know for us, we had expectations we really had never put into words, but they were there, and where they weren't being met, it led to hurt, resentments, and some other things that did not, lead to intimacy.
And I think too, just to add, Valentine's Day can be a great holiday for a lot of people, and it can be not so great holiday for a lot of people. I know, Trey, that you mentioned going into Walmart and seeing the pink and seeing the red and all that everywhere. But I know for me, even growing up, whether I was in a relationship with somebody or whether I was not in a relationship with somebody, it was still an opportunity for me to express love to those around me. I know last night I kind of threw out there on Facebook, I mentioned, if you had a choice, of to have kind of a celebration of Valentine's Day once a year, or if you would kind of enjoy it throughout the course of the year, what would you choose? And of course, the response that I primarily got on there was both.
Absolutely.
We love to celebrate love anytime.
Yeah, does it have to 24/7? Be an either or? Can we make
exactly.
it a both
exactly.
and? And I think that's really is because you have some couples listening that Valentine's for the guy is, okay, I'm going to do all my giving, all my showing mm-hmm. her that I love her mm-hmm. on February the 14th, and then mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And when we as we get into this, the deeper desires of a woman's heart a little bit, hopefully guys will perk up and take note mm-hmm. Of what that's really about and the message that that sends. And then you've got guys that maybe once they've done that, said, "Well, I'm done for the year." I told her
exactly
I loved her and I gave her all this stuff on February the 14th. But really, what we have learned through our own journey is really what it looks like to be a student of our spouse. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can unpack that a little bit. But let's, as we talk about that, I think understanding love language that's something that we didn't really know. I was attempting for so long to love you the way mm-hmm. I wanted to be loved. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let's put all five of them out there. Gary Smalley wrote a book, The Five Love Languages, mm-hmm. and all of us are wired a little bit differently as far as the way we look at love, the way we want to receive love, and also the way we express love. And so as we become a student of our spouse, and guys, I strongly encourage you to do that, because what that brings into play is we understand that we're different. That our spouse does not see the world exactly the way that we see the world. But those five from Gary Smalley are quality time. Mm-hmm. Number two, acts of service, giving gifts. Obviously, that's those who love to receive gifts. Valentine's a great holiday. Mm-hmm. Four is physical touch, being touched and affirmed that way. And then five is words of affirmation. Yeah.
Well, and I'll just add here, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're married, we still, I know for me personally, whether I've been in a relationship or whether I've been married, there are things that draw me as far as like, I know if you were to ask me what my love language is, I would say that my love language is acts of service and touch. And what I do is usually a reflection of that love language. I'm always hugging my kids. I'm always holding hands with my husband. Well, you know, whatever that looks like. I love touch. And a lot of times I give a hug or whatever, not only just to give that, but also to receive it. As well as I know, definitely Trey, as we were dating and as we were married, I did things. Simply, again, because I like that. And so I think a lot of times as we are in relationship with each other, we end up doing the very things that we want.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't always line up unless you have the exact same love language as the person that you're in relationship with.
And that's not usually the norm.
Right.
Usually we are married to someone who doesn't speak the same love language as we do. So principally, just want to be a student and really understand what our spouse's love language is. I know for me, being one that words of affirmation is my number one love language. I, because of that, am very affirming. I am vocally affirming. I'm constantly telling you how pretty you are, how good you look, how much I love you, and those type things that are affirming, maybe recognizing if you bought something new or is that a new dress and all those things.
And those are meaningful, but with my love language being acts of service, you know, sometimes Trey, you can say a number of times, you know, you look good or you look beautiful, whatever. And I'm thinking, can you just unload the dishwasher, please? You know, in my head, sometimes I'm thinking that because that actually does a lot more than, say, words of affirmation. Same thing. I may do something for you, but knowing that words of affirmation are important to you, you would much prefer my words of encouragement.
Yeah. And that was a big issue for the first 11 years of our marriage before our divorce in 2002. We were clueless to a lot of this, and I thought I was loving you well because I was so vocally affirming. Thought I was doing a great job loving you, but in your mind, it didn't really mean that much because, as you said, I was not taking out the trash maybe when I needed to, or not emptying the dishwasher, or not helping you around the house, or doing those acts of service. And it wasn't really until I think I began to clue in before our divorce, but definitely as I began to be a student of myself through my own recovery journey, that then translated into understanding my own wounds, but also understanding where you were coming from as well, which then as we entered marriage again, we had a completely new foundation for that. Why don't you talk, we talked movies, you know, on our way over this morning, and I think that's a good clue as to what our deep desires are. And maybe just speak, because I really want, share from your heart, from a perspective of a woman, really maybe for those women listening, can yes, that's right. But also I think for men listening, maybe their spouse is a little bit different from yours, but I think it's important to hear from a woman as she really communicates what some of those deep desires are.
Yes, we were talking about movies a little bit, and I think it's funny because a lot of times I'll have, you know, periodically a number of times throughout the course of the year, my kids, I do love The Sense and Sensibility, and I do love The Pride and Prejudice and all that kind of stuff. My kids always call it the period movie, the epic movies. You know, they refer to it as that. But I think if I were to really take a step back, as much as I love those movies, what I'm drawn to are the Bravehearts. One of my top five is Last of the Mohicans. Stories that have, you know, the conflict, the adventure, the definitely the love story where the guy is fighting for the beauty. He's fighting on behalf of the beauty. You know, he's rescuing her. All these things are going on. There's good and there's evil. And I think any good movie that we're drawn into, there has to be conflict. There has to be good versus evil and those types of things. But I think for me, even I think we talked about Titanic, and I do love Titanic because I believe that is more of a story of what the girl in the movie is settling for. And I can't recall all the names of Titanic, but
Rose and Jack.
Jack is actually calling Rose to think about her life, think about what she may be selling herself short as she's in, as she's into this other relationship. Whereas, again, the Bravehearts and the Last of the Mohicans, all that is really, I feel like as I'm watching that, that I am in the story. I am actually in the epic battle. And that, to me, is where my heart longs for. Mm-hmm. I long to be the warrior princess. I long to be rescued. But I also long to battle alongside you, to jump into that adventure. And that makes my heart come alive. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah.
And that's what draws me in.
Hearing you say that, I remember so many of the misconceptions that I had from a Christian perspective mm-hmm. of what this fight was really all about. And I think also what you're communicating, that the heart of a woman, the deep desires of, and the question that's there at the heart of every woman is, am I lovely? Am mm-hmm. I beautiful? Am I beautiful, worth pursuing? Mm-hmm. Think about all the Disney fairy tale cartoon movies or all those things that are very popular. It's that fairy tale, wanting to be the belle of the ball, wanting to be Cinderella, mm-hmm. Little Mermaid, you know, you can go down the list. All of them have the same theme mm-hmm. of this desire to be rescued, this desire to be pursued, even most recently Tangled, kind mm-hmm. of that same theme. And she kind of, in that show, did really have some of those characteristics you're talking about, joining him in this adventure. Mm-hmm. I thought that marrying you was the adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the fight. And then we got married. But what I began to understand really after our divorce, that no, that a woman doesn't want to be the battle necessarily. That doesn't want to be the end and all be all, but really
she
to join the adventure.
You. Absolutely. Yeah,
winning your heart is part of the adventure, absolutely. But really it's about joining your spouse in this adventure. And as we look at Valentine's, even on the way here this morning, we look at a marquee, one of the local oil change places, and it says, show her how much you love her this Valentine's mm-hmm. by bringing her car in to have an oil change. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, as I go back to what I saw last night in Walmart, it's all about showing love, showing love, showing love. And understanding these love language, I think, is part of that. But really, so often this holiday, you can walk away, especially from a guy's perspective, is how much I spend, does that equal how much I love her? And then we've got all these expectations where we're competing with our spouse's female friends and what their husbands or boyfriends are doing, mm-hmm. and then maybe what we've done in years past. And there's always kind of, it seems like this higher bar. And that can be overwhelming for men. Mm-hmm. And I think for men, there's also, we need to address this deep insecurity we often have. Because our core question is, do I have what it takes? Our core question shows up, am I enough? Mm-hmm. And so often when you take those two core questions that, you know, whether we know it or not, often Valentine's Day and men and women are bubbling up some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. The man feeling, am I enough, and trying to prove that he is adequate and he is enough. The woman wanting to be pursued, wanting to be valued, wanting to be, to know that she's beautiful.
And depending on what her expectations are, he may be doomed before he starts.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I know one of the things as we were discussing, mine is not necessarily, mine personally, I can only speak for my own self, but mine personally is not necessarily, okay, we have to go on this cruise or we have to, you know, have this 7-day vacation or anything like that. For me, because again, going back to my love languages and acts of service, what thrills me is to know the work that maybe went into doing an in-house date, you know, mm-hmm. where maybe you cooked dinner for me yep. and you lit some candles and you did a homemade card instead of maybe a bought card. Because I know for me, taking me out to dinner somewhere nice or buying me a card, that's great. But to me, that is actually easier than cooking me a dinner or writing me a homemade card, different things like that. So that speaks more to my heart. That didn't mean that that's what you have to do every Valentine's Day at all. But that's how I am wired. That would communicate more to me, you know. And so I think depending on where we are, you know, moving into this Valentine's Day, it can be a difficult, you know, for a relationship. It can put the pressure on.
Well, I think understanding that intimacy that we long for in any relationship, mm-hmm. you know, that's a romantic relationship, mm-hmm. it's a fight. It takes work. It takes
Absolutely.
Effort.
Right.
And again, back to what I expect, okay, I had won your heart. We got married. Mm-hmm. And I think for many guys, okay, now the battle's over. Really, it's just beginning. As we fight for your heart, we are pursuing your heart, and it really communicates and it helps answer that deep question. Yes, I am beautiful. I am mm-hmm. Worth pursuing mm-hmm. because look at how he's fighting for me. And mm-hmm. and I didn't understand that because so much of mine was wrapped up in this whole idea of fighting as a Christian man. That didn't mesh mm-hmm. because my brand of Christianity was all about being gentle Jesus and meek and mild and passive and, you know, not rocking the boat and so much of our first 11 years of marriage was mm-hmm. me trying to be the passive nice guy mm-hmm. and not really, I didn't know how to fight for you because I didn't think it was okay to fight for that noble cause. But now as I look back, I was so, there was so much tension as I would watch a movie like Braveheart, mm-hmm. which now is my all-time favorite movie. And you mentioned that one earlier. There's so many father-son components to that. But there would be this deep part of me that was moved by that movie, by William Wallace fighting for a noble cause, mm-hmm. by him putting safety aside and doing what was right. And see, my life mm-hmm. pretty much was about safety. Mm-hmm. It was about keeping peace and not rocking the boat and what's the path of least resistance and all those things that now I understand are completely counter mm-hmm. to the way God wired me as a man. And as one who is geared to fight for a noble cause. And so understanding that now, just going down the list of some of the movies, Braveheart, Gladiator, Saving Private Ryan, mm-hmm. maybe an older one that some of the younger listeners have not seen, but definitely be worth looking at, The Bridge on the River Kwai, Top Gun, all the Die Hard films, Shane, High Noon, The Magnificent Seven, you know, all of these are that same theme. You know, there is conflict that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And again, back to my misunderstanding of the Christian life, I thought it's not supposed to be full of conflict, but every great story has conflict. I mean, we'll walk out of a movie if there's not good conflict.
Well, not only that, think about sports. Mm-hmm. Think about the tension that lies on a field. Yeah. How many football players or basketball players are successful if they're passive? You're going to be sitting on the bench. Yeah. So really, when it comes down to this whole epic battle that we're talking about and this whole pursuit of a woman and this whole story that we long to be involved in and a part of, where does the passive guy come in? You know,
yeah.
we don't like that.
Yeah,
we don't want that.
And I thought the goal was to be a nice guy.
Right.
And there is a number of people involved in our ministry that's where they have bought into as well. And the reality is we can't please everybody. And that's what I was trying mm-hmm. to be. I was just trying to keep the peace on every level. And the message I continued to send you and me being a peacemaker and trying to keep the peace was I'm not worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. I'm always left holding the bag. I'm, you know, and the way that would show up for me is if Melody would tell me she would have dinner ready, say at 6 o'clock mm-hmm. and she worked so hard to prepare this meal. Well, my need to please, if at 5:15, I got something to do at work or I was staying late and maybe a coworker or a boss gave me something else to do, I didn't think I could say no mm-hmm. because it was my job and I wanted them to like me. I wanted to please them. So time after time after time, the message that I was sending you was everybody else is more important than you.
Absolutely.
Which is mm-hmm. contrary,
yeah. right.
goes right against, you know, what you are longing to know and to understand and get that question answered of, am I lovely? Am I beautiful? Am I worth pursuing? And I think even beyond that, then also my struggle with pornography and with sexual sin, that also cuts right against that.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that as it relates to this particular issue, that it is a fight for intimacy, a fight to stay engaged, a fight for the heart of our spouse. So many men, I don't think it's coincidental, the epidemic of pornography and sex addiction is because it's a cowardly way to opt out because mm-hmm. we can kind of get to the quote unquote goods without having to fight for it, without having to earn it, without having to give anything of ourselves. She's always smiling. She's always in a good mood. She's always mm-hmm. happy to see us. And there's been nothing expected.
We don't have to commit to anything.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's such a trap, because, but as men, it leaves us feeling more empty, mm-hmm. leaves us feeling more inadequate, and it just becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And that may be where a lot of couples are. You know, here we are on Valentine's week. Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's kind of puts a spotlight on maybe
where a relationship is, really, right?
And these desires that maybe they haven't even put into words,
right?
But now maybe beginning to understand the wirings of our heart. And hopefully, as you begin to understand that, you will not only pursue your own heart and understanding there and how you're wired, but also the heart of your spouse. That true intimacy can be the result, because, you know, Valentine's Day is all about love and showing love and all that, but it's not just one day. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you asked that question, you know, what would you prefer? Hopefully it is a both and. Hopefully what we experience the week of Valentine's Day or on Valentine's Day is just really what we experience year round, that we are communicating that we are valued.
Well, and, you know, back to the whole expectations, you know, if, and it, again, it's not supposed to be necessarily fall on all on your feet. You know, if we're both working in a relationship with one another, and we're both trying to be a student of one another, we're going to want to do things for one another. And it's not hopefully just going to fall on one day of the year. Hopefully it will be a continual process. And maybe if it is a continual process, it's not going to be this, you know, when February 14th rolls around, it's not going to be so much pressure, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk. One of the things that I think a lot of couples probably can relate to, it showed up in our relationship. After our divorce, mm-hmm. I coined a phrase, even, it's the only one I can take credit for. The bitch comes out in the woman when the man is not being the man. Mm-hmm. And there may be some listeners that, you know, the guy said, yeah, that sounds all right, pursue it, but right, I'll pursue my wife maybe when she's, you know, I feel worthy of pursuing. Right now she's being, you know, intolerable, maybe she's being controlling and a lot of those things. I would say that because of that deep desire, and often when that question goes unanswered, or like in our story, if not only does it go unanswered in the affirmative, a lot of what the spouse is hearing that really speaks contrary to that. You're wondering, am I lovely? And what I'm doing with pornography and saying yes to everybody else is sending a definite different message, mm-hmm. that often a retreat is in order to protect yourself, to protect your heart, to protect those things that are vulnerable. And then sometimes when those walls are up, there is kind of a hostility, a resentment that comes out. I know that showed up in our relationship, mm-hmm. where, you know, I mean, just speak to that a little bit, just how that.
Well,
how
I think just you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, when everybody kind of becomes more important, you know, I think a lot of yours was just not having boundaries, you know, people pleasing, all that. It was kind of like you knew that your family was always going to be here, so you could say yes to everybody else, but you knew you were always coming home to your family, mm-hmm. and so they would just understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, whereas I was always feeling on the back burner, you know, I was still involved, I was still doing things, but then when it came to us relationally, you know, you work so hard to try to make this relationship work, and you try to be at least I was trying to be perfect for this other person, and yet, you know, there was this gnawing at my heart of, am I not enough? You know, I know you tell me that you love me all the time, but there are certain things I think that I felt like should come alongside you just saying that you love me. And so there's just this emptiness, you know, yeah. Is this all that there is, yeah. You know, after we had been married for a number of years. And I think, yeah. What happens is when that is feeling empty in the context of a relationship, you begin to go to other things. And I think, yeah. For me, that was kind of where that performance track, I began, yeah. The process of doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I was headed.
Yeah, well, I think what happens is because we don't really fully understand our own deep desires and our, mm-hmm. own, mm-hmm. question of our heart. Again, as a guy, do I have what it takes? Am I enough? As a woman, am I lovely? Am I beautiful? Am I worth pursuing? Mm-hmm. When we don't understand that basic makeup of the way God created us, it can often be a self-fulfilling prophecy and kind of drives a wedge, because resentments can come in because of that. I'm reminded Song of Solomon, mm-hmm. which is often quoted a lot during this time of year, the Bible's book on love and romantic love specifically. This is what, as one who wanted to be affirmed, this is what I longed for you to say about me. I longed for that affirmation, but frankly, I wasn't doing anything to really merit that affirmation. Mm. You know, I wanted it without working for it. But listen, this is what I long to have you say about me. This is Song of Solomon 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come. And that's what I long to hear. Mm-hmm. But in retrospect, I look back, I was trying to be that passive nice guy. I wasn't fighting for you. I wasn't doing the things that really caused your heart to come alive, mm-hmm. you know, for that to be the way you responded to me. If anything, the message that I was sending you had you in an all-out retreat. And so then the more you retreated, the less affirmation I was getting. And so then after about 11 years, everything really just spiraled downward in a negative way.
Well, and I think sometimes the message that I get as a woman is, well, then I need to be this person, because if I was this person, or if I was this person, then I would be, then this would look different, then he would be pursuing me, or that I would, you know, be the beauty or whatever. And I think that's, again, where we get into this, if I was this other person, or I just need to try harder, or I just need to try to be this. And, you know, off we go to the races of trying to be that person.
That's right.
And never really finding that complete fulfillment.
Yeah. And what I've come to know about you, mm-hmm. and again, in our story, it was after divorce, mm-hmm. where some of the things that I was reading, and I was removed from our relationship, and beginning to find my own masculine strength and beginning to be okay with that masculine strength, which again, that went contrary to what for so many years I believed the Christian life to be. Mm-hmm. But as I began to find that, and that's the dynamic, it's as a man, our wife cannot be our strength. And for 11 years before our divorce, in my own brokenness and my own neediness, I was running to you to validate me, to affirm me, to complete me, to be my strength. And it didn't realize and didn't put it into words, but then grew this resentment because you could not be that for me. And our own journey has taught us that it took journeying alone and finding my strength and then being able to bring that strength back to you. Mm-hmm. And also in that process, understanding that you as a woman are wired differently than
Absolutely.
Me. That you bear the image of our Father as a woman differently than I do. That as a woman who longs to know that you're beautiful and lovely, that the word you want to understand, am I exquisite? Mm-hmm. Am I unique? Am I exotic? Am I chosen? Mm-hmm. And the more, as I pursue you, that I begin in my pursuit to send that message that you are chosen, that you are exquisite, you are beautiful. And then we can begin in this perspective, as you were talking about earlier, then engage in this adventure that mm-hmm. God has called us to together. We're both being fulfilled because both of our deep questions are being answered in that process. Mm-hmm. And in our next episode, we're going to kind of unpack how do we do that? You know, because we can quickly get into this understanding that, well, it's my husband's job to come through for me, or it's my spouse's job. And if they're not doing it well, you know, then I'm just kind of out of luck. And so how do we, as our individual journeys, you know, take place, how are we responsible for that? And that may be where you are, you know, listening, that, you know, maybe you're saying, yeah, that all sounds great, but you don't know who I'm married to.
Right.
And maybe we don't, but guess what? God does.
Right.
And there's no accidents in this. And one thing we do know, that while we cannot control our spouse, we can, and especially speaking to men here, as you begin to pursue your wife, not waiting for her to be pursuable, maybe by your terms.
Or the person you're in relationship with.
That's yeah. right. Or your significant other. Correct. But not waiting, that we do pursue, that we're doing those things, that we understand that there is in our spouse, there is this deep question of, am I lovely? And really, I think thinking about, do I do a good job of communicating that in the affirmative, that yes, she is worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. For some, you know, maybe Valentine's comes and goes and nothing's really made of it, and that kind of par for the course for that relationship. It sends such a hurtful message. You see this, you know, and the enemy kind of gets in there saying in those lies, see, you're not worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were, then this may be different, but you're not. Look, you've been forgotten. You've been abandoned. And that's where many women mm-hmm. are. So guys, you know, it takes work to engage this process. It's not something that we just show up and it all happens and unfolds. We've got to be a student of our spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take effort. It's going to take, you know, being any kind of student, it's going to take studying. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time to really understand, you know, where our spouse is coming from.
Well, I think just to remember, we are built, we were created for relationship, and we were created for an adventure, and we love a story, and we want to be a part of a story, and we want to come alongside a story. And so I think just as you embrace and enjoy this week of Valentine's Day and those that you do love and those that are important and are significant to you, reach out to those people and do embrace the beauty of the relationships that are around you that you've been given.
And I think kind of a fun assignment, mm-hmm. you know, for anybody listening, as you go out and as you're celebrating with your significant other Valentine's Day, whether it's out to eat a nice restaurant or maybe the home cooked meal that you mentioned earlier, whatever that is, you're getting one-on-one time together, maybe just to ask your spouse or significant other, maybe about some of those movies, because I think those movies mm-hmm. give a window into what our deep desires are.
I agree.
What makes your heart come alive? Mm-hmm. And to start that process of being a student of your spouse by asking that question. Maybe let that be part of the topic of dinner or the time that you have together on Valentine's, or if you're listening to this after Valentine's Day, you know, it doesn't have to be Valentine's Day. You know, just start the process now of being a student. And maybe let that be a nice segue into that. Mm-hmm. Tell me what movies you like and why. Maybe watch some of those movies with your spouse. Watch their reaction. Watch really what
makes
scenes,
them come alive.
Yeah, absolutely. What scenes has them move to tears, mm-hmm. you know, and then probe there. What is it about that scene that's speaking to you? Mm-hmm. And help me understand, you know, what you're feeling, what emotions are bubbling up there. I think that's a great exercise that can really start any couple on their way to being a student of one another. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to wrap up. We have enjoyed kind of this discussion about Valentine's Day. Hopefully Valentine's will be a very positive holiday for you this year.
Yes.
We can be found on Facebook, facebook.com/undoneredone. We're also both, Melody and I, are on Twitter. Melody is at M. Lovern. Lovern is L-O-V as in Victor, V as in Victor, O-R-N. I'm at T. Lovern on Twitter. And our emails, Melody is melody@undoneredone.com. And I'm at trailer@undoneredone.com. We'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard this and some of the concepts we're throwing out, maybe the first time you've ever heard it. And maybe you don't agree with it. Maybe you think that it's, you know, you're not needy. You don't really have this core question, whether you're a man or a woman, and you want to debate that a little bit. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love
Absolutely.
To talk about
we
that.
Would.
But guys, thanks for joining us. Again, our next episode, we're going to be unpacking more, really, how do we do some of this? How do we engage our spouse, really, for deeper intimacy that all of us are designed for? So guys, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.